Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. All right, you're a little more awake than the 8:30. That's good. Hey, it's been a week since we've been in church, and so we weren't able to have it last Sunday because we had no power. What a storm we had through here. Does anyone still not have power to their house? Okay. That's good. All right, good. Well, I'm glad everyone has power back. Well, today we are going to wrap up our series in the book of James. And so we're going to be in the last two verses of James, James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. But before we dive into those two verses, I just want to bring us back to what James has been talking about. And so do you guys even remember what James has been teaching you or talking about? I know when we get out of rhythm, it's hard to recall and remember exactly what James, the book of James, was talking about. But let me do this. We've been covering James for about 15 weeks now. And so let me summarize James, reminisce with you in 15 seconds about what the book of James has been showing us. So if you remember, James, he's writing to a group of Christians who have been dispersed all over the land because of trials, because of tribulations, because of suffering and persecution, right? They are experiencing these various trials and sufferings, and these trials are testing their faith. These trials are causing them to doubt a little bit. And James, he comes right out of the gate in chapter 1. He says, count it all joy. Suffering and trials, they produce steadfastness within you. Continue on in your faith as a believer, as a brother and sister in Christ. Stand firm in the midst of what is going on around you. And he goes on, he says, don't let temptation lure you or entice you. Don't let temptation turn into sin, because when it turns into sin and you continue to do it, sin leads to death. He says, do not be deceived by the world or your own sinful desires, but remember what God has done, that he has brought you forth by the word of truth, by the gospel, so that we can be hearers, and not just hearers, but that we can be doers of his word. That our faith would be an active faith, a living faith, showing the world that we have been set free from our sins because of Christ, and now we live for God in all we say and all we do. And James, he continues and he says, so tame your tongues. Don't let blessing and cursing come from it, but ask God for wisdom in your words and actions. We aren't double-minded. Don't be a friend to the world, because if you're a friend to the world, you can't be a friend of God. And James, he encourages these Christians dispersed all over the land, and he says, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God alone. Draw near to him. Call out to him when you're suffering, when you're experiencing these various trials. Call out to him when you're celebrating, when times are good. Call out to him when you're sick. Resist the devil and repent of your sins to God and repent of your sins to others. And majority, if not all of us, we find ourselves in the similar shoes as these Jewish believers. We find ourselves encountering everyday circumstances and situations that cause us to doubt, that cause us to be double-minded. We say we are a Christian, but we are letting the world, we're letting our own selfish desires, temptations, and trials all shift us away from God. And there's areas in each one of our lives where we have shifted away from living for the truth and living for ourselves. And the book of James ultimately is telling us to stay steadfast in our faith. Hold on tight to the word of truth which brought you forth life. And we get to the end of James, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, the last two verses of James, and we think there's going to be some type of great ending right? A salutation, a benediction. But James doesn't end that way. James, he gives us one final warning. And I believe this final warning and exhortation, it actually concludes everything that James has been talking about so far. In these two verses, James, he confronts us as believers to not wander away from the truth of God, and he exhorts us to live as agents of God's grace. James confronts us as believers to not wander away from the truth of God, and he exhorts us to live as agents of God's grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Father, this morning, may you open our hearts to hear your word. May we see that although we may wander or want to wander, your grace is still available to us. Today, as the body of Christ, as we gather, may we see that you have called us to be agents of your grace, to live according to your grace, and to restore our brothers and sisters who have wandered away from the truth. Spirit, would you move into our lives as we look at the living and active word of God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at these two verses, verses 19 and 20, James chapter 5. It says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering saves his soul from death and covers a multitude of sins. So James, again, talking to the Christian community, talking to Jewish believers dispersed all over the land. We know this because he says, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, which this phrase he uses throughout his book 12 times, getting their attention, calling them to what God has called them to do, trying to get them to turn away from their distractions, their doubt, back to God. And he has one final time where he says, my brothers, my sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, James is saying, Christians, as you look around at your friends and family, as you look around at your classmates, at your coworkers, as you look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ, the people that are sitting next to you in the synagogue, in church, today, there will be some who say they are Christians, but yet they have wandered away from the truth. James, throughout his letter, he's been teaching how to live by the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, which we just recalled at the beginning of the sermon. But James, he's been teaching what true faith is. Faith is belief in action. It's something he's already talked about in his book. In chapter 1, verse 18, James says, God has brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. See, God has revealed to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's transformed us to do what? To live for him. That our desires have changed. And now our desires are to live for God. And James, in his letter, he's saying that the truth, the gospel, is not only about what one knows of Jesus, not only about what one knows of God, what one knows about God's word, but how that knowledge then transforms their lives and how one lives out that knowledge. Right? To be not just hearers, but doers of God's word. And the problem is that there are Christians who have deceived themselves into thinking that they are following the ways of Christ. And they've wandered away from truly living for Christ. So what does it look like to wander? What does it look like to wander? I was thinking of a few examples of this, and I was just thinking, what is a good analogy, illustration for wandering? And two things came to mind. First, I thought of my kids in a grocery store when they're not locked into a grocery cart, And then I thought of my wife in Joanne's fabric store. Okay? And I think of both of those situations because somehow my kids and my wife, they aimlessly, slowly start to meander and walk away, right? Finding new things, exciting things, leading them further and further away from me, the truth, right? And somehow, I don't know how they get here, somehow they are deceived in thinking that whatever they find, whatever they come across, I'm going to buy it for them. And they're deceived. They slowly walk away. And two, we've been in situations where our kids might slowly walk away from us. And the next thing we know, we look up and they're gone. And we have no idea where they are. And they've just meandered past our view and our vision. We see this in the garden with Adam and Eve. Satan had put something in front of them that skewed who God was. It caused doubt in Adam and Eve's mind. And that doubt, this idea of being like God, caused them to wander away from the truth. And that wandering ultimately separated them from God. And this is what is going on in James's letter. Fellow Christians are saying they are ones who live for Christ, but yet the world, their trials, the enticements of what is only temporary are slowly leading them away from the truth, and they're deceived, and they're double-minded. You see, there are people in this room this morning, in your circles of Christian friends and family, who have wandered away from the truth. There's been something in their lives that has started to skew their view of God, that has caused doubt in their mind about their faith. There's been something in their life that just looks a little more shiny to them than God, than the truth. And slowly, over time, they drift away from worshiping and glorifying God. But here's the thing. I don't want to just focus on the people sitting next to you, those who are not us that have wandered away from the truth, because the truth is we are all prone to wander, right? We just sang about it in the third verse of Come Thou Fount. You guys know the third verse of Come Thou Fount? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, a chain, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. See, every single one of us, because of sin, because of the brokenness of the world, because of selfish hearts, we're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God that we say we love. And James, he understands this. James understands that there will be things that will try and slowly pull us all away from the truth of the gospel. And it's tricky because we may not notice it at first. But over time, our eyes have departed from focusing and fixating on Jesus and on the gospel, and it has turned to focus on something else. Right? We can easily wander into doubts. As we experience suffering and trials, oftentimes we doubt the truth that God is who he says he is. We question God's faithfulness. We question his mercy and his grace. We question his goodness. We question his love. We can easily wander into lies and thoughts that tempt us and lead us to sin over and over again. Thoughts of lust and envy, lies that lead us to anger and selfishness. And for some reason, these lies and these thoughts, we continue just to give them space in our head. We set fires to our relationships with our tongues, causing disunity in our friendships and marriages. And now these relationships, they're no longer God-honoring because of what you've said, because of how you've acted. You've dishonored that person. You have not loved that person as Christ has loved you. Maybe in your marriage is no longer a one flesh union. But instead, you're just focused on your own flesh and yourself. And we continue to hurt and cause pain in our relationships, have hurt and pain because of what we've said and what we've done over time. And you just get further and further apart. We wander into grumbling and complaining, no longer thankful for all that God has done for us as we take matters into our own hands, right? We don't trust God. We end up not depending on God anymore, but we end up trusting and depending on ourselves or on things in this world that will never satisfy. And we wander into a distant relationship with God. Our prayer is less and less. Reading the Bible is less and less. We may still attend church. We may still say we're a Christian, but we're apathetic. And reality is that something else is truly directing and leading your life. You see, all of us are prone to wander away from the truth. And so we can all easily become the among you that's in this verse, the among you who wanders. Let me ask you, what has caused you to wander? What has caused you to wander? Now let me chase a thought for a second. It's not random. It's not a random bunny trail, but it's here. But the question that comes up is, what is the result of continual wandering? Look at verse 20. James says, whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death. Meaning that if you continue to wander, you will experience spiritual death. Wait, so that leads us then to ask the question, can you lose your salvation? And I think this is a question that James has already addressed in his letter early on. He's been talking about it to this whole time. What is genuine faith? And genuine faith will show an outward evidence and perseverance, not just hearers, not just knowledge, but doers. Hebrews 3 says, take care. Take care that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Continual, unrepentant sin, a continual wandering away from the truth, will result in a hard heart. The deceit of sin will lead us to becoming more and more distant from God. See, we have stopped believing in God, and instead, it's not that we've stopped believing at all. No, we just replace that belief in something else, in a lie. And then we show no outward evidence that we are a genuine believer or maybe that we've ever been one. So we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our lives and ask, how far have we wandered? Are our hearts hardened yet? Maybe it's just in a certain area of life. You're like, God, you can't have this. I don't believe you can work in this area of my life. But I'll give you over here. Are you obeying and believing the truth of God's word? But here's the thing, we're not alone in this. So let me challenge you also to ask your spouse, ask a close friend, ask your brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you living with grace and truth? Are you showing mercy and forgiveness? Are you allowing your yes to be yes? Are you being slow to anger? Are you being kind with your words and your actions? Because the glorious reality of what Christ has done, how God has made it, is that we are not alone in this. That we have people who love us and care for us and want to point us back to the truth of the gospel. So no matter how far you or I might wander or have wandered, the truth is that God, in his grace and goodness, has given us others to be agents of his grace, to reveal to us the truth of Scripture, to reveal to us the lies that we might be believing and living by. So let's continue in verses 19 and 20, and let's get that picture, that we are called to be agents of grace, that that is our duty as a Christian. 19 and 20, my brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. See, in these verses, we get a beautiful picture of what God is calling his people to be a part of. He is calling you as a believer to be a part of his mission and his plan. If anyone wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let me just say that that someone is not just a pastor of a church. That someone is not just an elder of a church. It is not just a person who stands up here and preaches from behind a pulpit. That someone is not just a core class teacher. That someone is not just a community group leader or co-leader. But that someone is you. Do you get that? That God, in his goodness and grace, chose you to restore the wanderer back to God. How beautiful is that? Because in reality, what that means is that when Kevin Wilsey is failing, when I take my eyes off of Jesus, then I have brothers who are going to come alongside of me and lift me up and turn me away from my sin and bring me back to the right path of truth. That they get to be agents of God's grace and say, Kevin, take your eyes off of this. This is temporary. This is fleeting. This leads to death. But the grace of God and his love and his goodness and his mercy and what Christ has done for you, it leads to life. He has chosen you to be agents of God's grace. And yes, of course, it is God who transforms. It is God through the Holy Spirit that changes a person's life and mind and opens their mind to see that sin, to lead them to repentance. But he wants to use you as agents of grace, as a tool, right? John Piper, he uses this illustration for this. He says, think of a lumberjack cutting down a tree, right? What does a lumberjack cut down a tree with? An axe. Some people answer chainsaw too. That'll work. That'll get it done quicker. But an axe and a chainsaw. You see, we are the axe. We are the chainsaw, that we are one of God's tools in restoring others back to him. And we need each other. All of us need to be on a search and rescue team, a mission. That is our duty and that is our calling as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. Every day we are on a search and rescue. Because if my brother is falling into sin, I'm going to be here to help him come back. The Bible says we are ministers of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, that we are ambassadors of Christ, that the message that we live and we say is one of reconciliation. Hebrews 3 says we are to exhort one another daily while it is called today. Why? So we won't be hardened through the lies of sin. So we won't wander. This phrase, to bring them back, literally means just to turn them around. We are to lead them to repentance. Repentance is turning from our sin and turning back to God. So our call as agents of God's grace is to watch out for our brothers and sisters. To do this on a daily basis, and if needed, we must speak truth and speak the gospel of God's grace into their lives so that they will stop believing lies and turn back towards truth. And this is the importance of biblical community. This is what is to be lived out as you gather with your brothers and sisters in a coffee shop, at someone's home, when you're just talking in community group, here in the lobby, in the parking lot, after church. This is biblical community, that we are agents of grace. So for us to be agents of grace, we must know the God and the grace that He has given us. And so I encourage you to spend time in God's word, to know His grace, because God is going to use you as a tool to be an agent of grace to pull other believers and followers of Jesus back to Him. So we need this community to help us stay away from wandering, to keep us from wandering. And I understand that it's not appropriate to share your whole life and your sin with everyone. But it's important to find those fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who you can share that with, who you can share your life with and your sin with. Because let me tell you, it is important for survival. Because if you do not and you continue to wander and believe lies, then eternal death may be coming your way. It is necessary for survival. This text says when we are agents of God's grace, we are saving their souls from death and covering a multitude of sins. But let me just ask you, are we the ones that are saving the souls? Are we the ones that are covering a multitude of sins? No. Who saves our soul from death? Sunday school answer. Come on. Jesus, who covers our sins. Jesus, so as agents of God's grace, what do? We lead them to the one who does this. We lead them to the true shepherd, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We lead them to God's word to allow it to teach them and reveal the lies that they are living by. You see, we have no power to save their souls. We have no power to cover their sins, but Christ does. And let me tell you, no matter how far off someone may be from the path of truth, let's make it our part of our mission to be agents of grace, to lead them back to Jesus, who has the power to heal, who has the power to forgive, who has the power to rescue. Because it is not us who come and say, oh, I forgive you, I can forgive all your sins. I died for your sins. No, it is Christ who comes to them and says, I have died to cover your sins. I have died to forgive you. I have died to restore you back to myself. You think of the prodigal son. And as the prodigal son, he wandered, and he wandered far. But as he comes back, as he returns, the Father is waiting, open arms, ready to receive the Son. See, it's Christ's love that will change the wanderer's ways. So being an agent of God's grace means we show the wanderer that God's grace, it is sufficient no matter what we're going through. It is sufficient for the circumstances that you are in, for the suffering that you are encountering, for the sin that you're currently indulging in. God's grace is sufficient, and you can be transformed to live for him. So real quick, just two ways of practically being agents of grace, just real quick, real simple. First, what do you do as agent of God's grace? First of all, side note, I call you guys us too, AOGs. We're AOGs, not OGs. We're AOGs, agents of grace. You get it? Okay. First, we pray. 1 John 5, verse 16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, eternal death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. We must pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must pray for the lost. We must pray that they will not be deceived by sin, but that they will see the truth of the gospel and that God would bring them back to life. We must pray fervently, and we must pray daily. Don't believe the lie that God has stopped listening to your prayers. I've believed that lie. I've hardened my heart towards that. Don't believe that lie, because God does hear your prayers. And he has a greater plan that we may understand, but our call is to pray and to pray and to pray and to make our requests known to him. And so that's what we're going to do. Pray. Second, be gentle. First, pray. Second, be gentle. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So we approach the wanderer with a spirit of gentleness. We're loving, we're encouraging, we're pointing them back to God's word and his holiness. We're showing them the love of the Father, the gentleness of the Father that has been shown to us. And as we do this as community, it is a beautiful picture of Christ's love and his glory in the gospel. And so we gently make sure that they are hearing and believing the truth. And so let's take this call to action, this duty as a believer, seriously. Let's be people who pray for the wanderer and seek to be used by God to rescue the wanderer. So what I want to do next, what I want to do now, is take this call as agents of grace seriously. And we're actually just going to have a time of prayer. Pastor Jared, he's going to come up, and he's going to lead us in a time of prayer. And I want you to think of the wanderer.